This is Feed, Play, Love, a podcast especially for the parents and carers of small children. I'm your host, Siobhan Hunt. Over the years, I've spoken to some really interesting people about parenting, and this next interview is one from our collection. I hope you enjoy it. It's estimated that around one in five families in Australia are step families. That means there are thousands of couples nationwide who choose to blend their families together by sharing a house and a life. Each family, of course, comes with its own history. There may be another parent somewhere, there is extended family. Each member of the family has their own likes and dislikes. And of course, the children can be of all different age ranges and stages of development. So how do you successfully combine all of this under one roof? Dr. Julie Green is an executive director of Raising Children Network, and Georgie Smart has her own blended family. Hi, ladies. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks, Siobhan.
So, Georgie, let's start with you. Can you tell us about your family? Who currently lives under your roof?
Okay, so there's Matt and I, who met a year and a half ago. There are six kids, four of mine, who are 18, 16, 14 and 9. And then Matt's two girls who are 8 and 11 currently.
Wow.
So
wow.
Three small ones, three big ones.
And I understand there are a few pets as well.
Yes, three cats, two cats now and a dog. Sadly, one of them passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that's okay. It was a very bonding moment for a big family anyway.
A big family, that's huge. And why did you decide to live together?
It came down to logistics for us. We had two houses, kids going back and forth, deciding to go to the pool. Okay, we'll go to your house and get the bathers from there. Then we'll go to my house and get the bathers from there. And then it was just a bit nuts. And economically, it made sense for us both to sort of pull it in together. And we loved each other. We wanted to hang out more. And when you've got lots of kids in tow, it just made sense. I had my kids 80% of the time at that point, and so it just made sense that we pulled it all together.
And Julie, do you find that is a big reason for families to come together, is actually just on pure practical reasons?
Absolutely. Yeah. What Georgie's outlined there is probably one of the most common reasons for families to decide to combine their families, just financial reasons, practical reasons, and also that decision comes from a commitment that they do want to build a new family together, and they choose a time that's right for them.
So here's the tricky thing, right, Georgie? So you met Matt online.
Mm-hmm.
You liked him.
Yeah.
You had a nice relationship.
Yeah.
And obviously that is the start of a blended family, is that coupling and that love and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
How do you move forward from that in terms of where his kids fit into your life and your kids fit into his life, in the sense that there's never a guarantee that you're going to like the person's kids or that your kids will like their kids and vice versa.
Mm.
How much do you have to think about that before you move in together?
Look, that's big. And I think, to be honest, you go back a bit, and when you even meet somebody, that's part of it. You know, I met a guy who had a two-year-old little girl, and I went, it's really nice, but it's those little things aren't going to work. So when I've got three boys and one girl, and I met Matt, it was two girls, I thought, wow, tick, that's good. And then, of course, we
Why
fell in love with
each
other.
Why was that a tick?
Well, it was just balanced it out a bit.
Okay, the gender balance was good.
Yeah, the gender balance. So it was, and the age group worked well. You know, I had a five-year gap with my nine-year-old, and then he's got two girls that fitted around that. It just all sort of worked, like looked like it would work. And of course, once I met his kids, we met each other's kids separately on our own before we introduced the kids. So I met his girls, he came and met my kids, because that was an important part, like, do we like each other's kids? And we both did, and we both realized,
phew,
yeah, it was a bit of a phew. We both realized that we did things the same way. And one of the reasons Matt and I did click is because he had 50% care of his kids from the beginning. So he was on the case, on the job, and I like that. And that's what works still. We're both very parent-oriented people and value that time and that job.
And spending it with each other and with the kids,
yeah,
I'm imagining.
Absolutely.
Did you plan it? Were there any obviously you met each other's kids, you decided that you could work as a family, but in terms of actually moving into a house, did you have any ground rules for the kids, or any steps that you took to try and make it easier for you?
Yeah, well, we moved to a neutral house, which I think was a really good trick. We rented, so we could easily, both renting, so we could move to a new place. We got a big place. We got 5 bedrooms, and we specifically gave the older three their own room because my kids had been on their own with me for 6 years, so I just felt they needed a bit of space to accept all of this. And the three little ones were just so excited to be together and huddling around and jumping on the trampoline that we put them in a big room together with their own little corner. And that's gone really well. I think that was the main thing. And just, we moved in separately. Like, they moved in first, we came in next. We involved the kids in the actual moving, the designing of the house, where we should put things. And we just did it that way. And it's worked pretty well. We've had our few issues.
Because it seems like there must be so, I mean, every child is different. So when you've got such a large family that's coming together, there are so many different levels of emotion and thought and understanding that goes on. Julie, is there any things that people can think about, you know, for people who might want a few pointers?
Well, I think there's a lot in what Georgie has just outlined in terms of some planning. Investing in the beginning of building a relationship with a partner's other children. I mean, it takes time to get used to being in a step family, especially in the first year, which is when it's probably the most challenging. A lot of families feel that things have started to settle down by about the 2-year mark. But as you said in your introduction, there's so much going on, and it's important that the couple invest time in their relationship with one another, that the biological or original parent still spends time with their own child or children, as well as spending time with their partner's children. So there's a lot of relationship building, and it won't all happen at once. So it can be good just to pick a few things to focus on in those early months or in the first couple of years. And by and large, relationships do develop. I mean, they don't always gel as people might hope for, but often there's those warm relationships do develop over time.
I mean, we are told a lot, Georgie, as parents, about the importance of the relationship with your partner. Mm-hmm. And this is the second time you're having a family with someone else. It's always hard when you have kids to find time for that person. Mm. I can't imagine how hard it is with 6. I mean, is that something that you and Matt work on?
Yeah, well, look, we have a fortunate situation at the moment where the other kids do go out at the same time to their other parent. It was a bit of a logistical operation. It doesn't always work, but we do get the odd date night sort of every fortnight. And because my older teenagers are older and can stay home, we do get to disappear and go out for dinner and have some time together, which is really good. And we really need that. And the other thing we've got a lot better at is we both would want to go off and huff when something's not working. But I go, I know you want to go, but we have to work this out now. It's time now.
Yep.
And I'm a lot more efficient. We're a lot more efficient at working through those things.
Because you have to be?
Yeah, yeah. And just the last weekend is a living, breathing example of, you know, that sort of stuff. Jobs, children, some kids, expectations of my children, and they should be doing more jobs because they're bigger, and expectations that his children should be tidier, and all of these sort of things that come up. And we do. We make time. We walk around and get a coffee, and we say, we've got to work this out now. Let's go.
Which is a really nice practical way of doing it, because even with children who aren't big enough to do their own jobs, and with someone that I've started my family with, we already find that hard when the boring, practical, yet highly irritating things intrude on your relationship.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Well, and there's just a lot of washing, and it's insane at our house. And it's really, I've started working, like I was explaining to you off air, and we've had to get them in to help, and it's teaching them, you know, taking initiative, looking at the roster. We tried to do it without a roster, and then we decided we just need a roster.
Yes. Never underestimate the power of an Excel
big
spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet on the wall in the kitchen. But they really do like it. They go to it and say, oh, you're on dishwasher, so-and-so, come on, dishwasher. And it works. It works. And it means that we are feeling a bit less pressured. But it's not always perfect, I might add.
Yeah,
it's why didn't you take the washing up line? I fell asleep in front of the TV. You know, and Matt's huffing around going, and, you know, it's not always rosy.
But do you see, Julie, that this kind of really practical, I mean, it seems to be a word that's coming up a lot, but this sort of practical upfront planning is helpful for step families?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the big ticket item is communication. And if the two adults can work at being on the same page about family routines and jobs and so on, that can take away a lot of that day-to-day pushback around what's fair, because we know kids have the best radar in the world for picking up what's fair and what's not. So a routine that's stuck up on the fridge can be a fantastic way of just being clear about what needs to be done in a family and remove that, at least that layer of tension that, let's face it, is generally in all families. And it's also, you know, it can really foster teamwork and lots of other skills about taking responsibility for things in the household.
And Georgie, what's been the most challenging thing about having your two families together?
I think there's been a few. Obviously, it's not always great. This issue that we're just discussing about jobs and who does what and who's old enough to do stuff has been big, because I've got the older children, and we both had routines of operations beforehand. For example, when I was on my own with the kids, we would have dinner and then I'd send them off to have showers and I'd do the dishes, and it was my downtime. I just quite liked it. I'd pour a glass of wine, I'd put the radio on, and I'd wash a whole kitchen. And now when we moved in together, that's like, why are you doing the dishes? You know, that's, you know, you don't need to do those. And I'm like, well, I quite like it. So, but, you know, we then realised that we needed to engage the children in doing these jobs because there was more dishes. And, you know, we wanted to sit and have a chat. I had someone to chat to now after dinner.
And that was your way of unwinding?
Yeah, so I had to retrain my children to do more of the jobs that I'd sort of taken on doing.
And a bit of retraining yourself too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So that's, but also we put them into teams. We sort of strategically worked out the good teams, and it's actually caused great relationships for them to do stuff together. Mm. And of course, what would happen, the big kids would say, well, the little kids don't do enough. I end up doing it all. So we then realised we had to teach the little kids how to actually do it. So one of us would go in and do it with them and show them. And all these little things have been. But the biggest is probably one of my kids is not loving it. She's basically not, you know. And we've gone out and got some external help for that. She's having a chat to somebody on the outside, which is a really good mechanism. And then I went and sat in with that recently and had a chat with the therapist that she's chatting to. And it was a really good thing that she taught me. And she said to Stella, you need to teach Matt how you want to be treated. It's your responsibility to say how you want, what you want to happen to you. And that was a really great way of sort of saying, well, I just little things like his stupid dad jokes, or she goes, oh, you know. But all other things that have come up, and it's just a really important thing. It's something we're not taught how to do, to say, I don't like it when you do that. Can you not do that? Because it really is annoying. Or the other kids, even she feels like she can't say it to the other little kids because he'll get cross that she's telling his kids off. And so she's had to say, speak to them and say, I want to tell them off when they're not ready for school. I don't like it that they're disorganised, and then you yell at them because they're running late. And she's really efficient and organised and out the door, and gets frustrated that we're all running around finding shoes and hairbrushes, and she wants to be involved, but she thinks that's... So we've just worked through those sort of routines and making things... talking to each other. Again, it's all about communication. It's like putting your hand up and saying, I'm not happy.
And is that hard for you? Because as much as when a family comes together, you probably learn to love your partner's children as well as your own. But of course, they are your kids. Yes. You were alone with them for a very long time. Yeah. Was it hard for you to see her upset?
Yeah, it was. There's a part of me that goes, you know, come on, just I'm happy. You know, and she did say, I want to go back to how it was. And was me and the boys and her. And I sort of was really honest with her and I said, we had some great times, but it was also really hard. You know, I really struggled on my own. I struggled being lonely. I struggled with money. This is good for me as well. And I know you're not 100% happy, but we need to work out a way to make you happy in this. And it's working. You know, it's working. He took her off to the markets on the back of his motorbike the other day and she got off and said, that was really cool. And little connections, you know, and it's about time, as Julie said, it's about time together. One of my boys got a new bed on the weekend and it was an IKEA bed. And I said to him, you need to do this yourself now, because if you do this, you can do anything. And he looked at me and said, do I really? Will you help me a bit?
Here's your passage to manhood right here, building an IKEA bed.
I said you're 14. But Matt said, I'll help you if you help me do this. And they did it together and it was really good. Mm. It was really positive.
Ladies, thank you so much for speaking with us this afternoon.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.